You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball.
One ball!
The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores,
scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the League Podcast with William Hill. Alex Dunn and Pete Farries are here to look at the best of the Championship this week. Al Ross and Gav Puchalowski will be along later to look at League One and League Two. But first things first, oh, and I'm Alex Dunn, by the way. Did I say that?
I don't know. I don't listen until you say my name. It's a kind of an ego thing.
I'm Alex Dunn and this is Pete Farries.
Hello.
Hi, Pete.
Hi. Hi, Al. How are you?
I'm pretty good, actually. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, Al. Not bad.
And the Championship's back.
It is. Thank the Lord. I had a bit of a nasty time last week on the on looking at League One and League Two. It wasn't the greatest of days bet-wise. And to be honest, you know, we're looking at, what, one nap from four early doors. It's not phenomenal work for myself. I need to pull my finger out a little bit. I do have a record, of course. Never once finished a nap season in loss. Always been in profit. So it's about time to start living up to that mighty and heady history. But I think this week's a good week to do it. I think there's some great value out there and three really interesting TV games as well.
It does seem like a very long time since we previewed a Championship game. It seems like a very long time since I watched a Championship game. But we've had a little break and hopefully we're coming back refreshed. And as you said, yeah, the televised games are probably two of them certainly are definitely the most intriguing contests of the week.
Yeah.
The Friday night game, maybe not quite, but it's still... Well, there's money to be made, isn't there?
There is. So Reading against Ipswich, of course, 23-20 Reading. The draw 21-10 Ipswich, 23-10. A couple of little sort of Friday night stats for you that I fished out last night. Firstly, the last time that Reading played on a Friday night was on the 11th of September last year.
Mm-hmm.
They played Ipswich. They played Ipswich at home at the Medeski. So it's very similar to where we are now.
Mm.
They won 5-1. If you also add to that the fact that Ipswich have won just one of their six historic Friday night games. So just one of the six they've ever played in a Friday night, they've won. Not great, is it?
No.
Not great. And there's been a lot of goals in those. There's been 4-2s and the 5-1, of course, that we've just mentioned. They have real Friday night blues, Ipswich. They really, really do. They've obviously just sold Daryl Murphy. He hasn't been quite as big an influence over the last year and a bit. I mean, he got 10 goals last season. He did have some injuries, didn't he? He has scored already this season, but that was at international level, not for Ipswich. He's gone off, obviously, to
Newcastle.
There you go. We'll mention him, of course, very, very soon. I found it very hard to build a pro-Ipswich argument here. They've been good at home so far this season, which is obviously very, very important. But Reading are unbeaten at home. And actually, Ipswich haven't scored away from home. So if you're putting together some kind of argument here, you've got the fact that Ipswich are rubbish on Friday nights. You've got that Reading beat them comfortably on a Friday night this time last year, heavily rather than comfortably. You've got them at odds against Reading. You've got them having been solid at home so far. You've got Ipswich struggling to score away from home. I just thought 23-20 Reading was really, really nice, Alex. Now, in those historic Friday night games, for both sides, admittedly, but for Ipswich as well, the overs lands quite a lot. Mm. Not all the time. There's a 1-1, for example, against Barnsley. But they do land a fair amount. Over 2.5 is 5-4. Now, bear that in mind, that when we're talking about last season, this exact, basically exact fixture, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Really, weirdly, it's a symmetrical fixture almost. 6 goals that day. Over 2.5 is 5-4. I think that's a really good play. My favourite goal scorer pick in this, I can't believe how far down he is. He's 7 down the list. Now, I'm not saying he's prolific. I'm not saying he's someone you'd back week in, week out. But he's scored in both home games in the league so far for Reading. He got 7 last season for Brentford. He's a really good player. He was obviously on Chelsea's books for a while as well. John Swift is 13-5 anytime. He's got two goals in two home games.
Mm.
That for me, is a good enough form line to look at 13-5 anytime. So I really like that. But I think ultimately, when you think that Ipswich haven't scored away, you think that Reading have been solid, you think about what we said about the Friday nights, and all of a sudden Reading at 23-20 is nice. You could play Reading in both teams at 4-1. But in the end, I kind of went with Reading here. Ipswich have been okay. I mean, at home, actually, they've been very good. But maybe we're just starting to see already those two brackets that have been, for the last couple of years, fairly distinct of Ipswich at home being different to Ipswich away.
No, that's true. The last time that Ipswich went to Reading and won was 2009. They won 1-0 and John Stead scored.
Well,
there you go. That's quite a long time ago now, though.
I got chatting to John Stead in Dublin Airport last year.
Okay.
That's the end of the anecdote.
Right,
I just talked to him and said, oh, yeah, I live near Bradford. He went, oh,
Derby Newcastle then is the tea time game on Saturday. Derby are 8-5. The draw is 2-1. Newcastle are 17-10 in this one. Newcastle made a slow start, but have been in fantastic form. Didn't really want the international break when it came around, but have strengthened well in the transfer window and will go here full of confidence. Derby won't, really. They've only scored once so far this season. That was in a 1-0 win at Preston.
Stealing my favourite stat.
Sorry. They've only scored once this season. Only 5 points from 5 games. Not the end of the world, because if they do win here, then they'll go a point behind Newcastle. But Derby do need to buck their ideas up and do it pretty soon, or those top 6, 7, 8 are going to start getting away from them.
They were woeful against Burton. I mean, you've got to give credit to Burton, who defensively were exceptional. Jackson Irvine, of course, we put up on the podcast. Big price, he scored. Derby, I think, are in a bit of trouble at the moment. You know, Newcastle have scored 8 league goals. Derby have scored 1. And what do you do when you score 1 goal? You let man who's historically for the last couple of years been your best goal scorer go. I don't think all is particularly well. I know they brought in Matai Vaidra. I'm more than aware of that, and he can be devastating. James Wilson is a young talent that could kick on after doing really well at Brighton last year. But ultimately, how do you do this? I mean, how do you back Derby? They don't. Not only have they not really been winning, I know they've won what, 1 game this season, but not only have they not been doing anything, they haven't looked like doing anything. Do you know what I mean? If a team loses 3 games, but they've played really well in 2 or 3 of them, then I can kind of go, all right, well, look, there's signs of life, isn't there? There's green shoots of recovery. We've had none of that from Derby so far. And Nigel Pearson, when you look at him on the touchline, looks very, very perplexed as to what on earth is going on. Newcastle have to be the play here. They have to be. I mean, you'll know better than many the strengthening that has gone on. But what I've liked about what Rafa Benitez and what the whole recruitment policy over the last couple of months has been at Newcastle, proven quality championship players who can go on. I mean, Daryl Murphy, okay, he's well into his 30s now, isn't he? Mm. But he's still a player who's got, I mean, got 10 last season, didn't he? But he scored an absolute ton in the last 2 seasons before that. You know, Matt Ritchie was a hell of a signing. Dwight Gayle's got 4 in 4, technically. I mean, just Grant Hanley, who I know he hasn't been playing as much as we thought he might do, but ultimately, the recruitment's been brilliant for a team who want to get out of the championship, hasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. There's two good players in every position.
Yeah, there you go. So for me, you've got a flat Derby side who aren't playing well, who aren't scoring goals, and you're offering me 17-10 on Newcastle here. I think that's an absolute beast. I really do like that. The aforementioned Ritchie is part of the enhanced odds. Matt Ritchie to score in Newcastle to win is up from 9-2 to 6-1. I think that's a beauty. But I just mentioned Dwight Gayle. He's 8-5 anytime, 4-4, scoring goals, looking handy, is going to start as long as he keeps scoring goals. And I think Derby's back line, when you look at that Derby back line as well, the likes of Shackle, the likes of Bryson, you know, okay, good players, Keogh, but they're slow. They're not the kind of player who can keep up with the kind of movement that Dwight Gayle will give you up front. So, I mean, 8-5 anytime for Gayle is great. Newcastle at 17-10 is great. This is not quite, but it's certainly close to my favourite bet of the week. At the moment, Derby are unbackable, and they're certainly unbackable. I mean, I certainly wouldn't put them as fabs in this game in terms of a winner, would you? They're 16-10 as opposed to Newcastle 17-10.
I wouldn't quite put them as fabs, but I think it's probably priced up about right.
Do you think?
Forgetting Newcastle won at Bristol City
a
few weeks back. That was their first away win it was the first away win of the calendar year.
You see, well, that's an interesting and a fair start. It's so much has changed.
It has.
Different
managers, mostly different players, different league. I understand that. But it's the kind of game that if Newcastle do win, then they will be flying off the back of it. Personally, I'd play the draw. I think 2-1's fair on the draw.
Do you think?
But maybe that's just me being a pessimistic Geordie.
I mean, to be fair, Derby have had two decent sides go there in Villa and Brighton and drawn with both of them 0-0, so you could argue fair enough on that.
I think both sides would probably take a point. That's the key here.
Right, okay. The issue for me is that if Pearson sets up for a draw here, he's already under a huge amount of pressure as it is. He can't be seen to be doing that. I mean, if they're 2-1 up with 5-10 to go, that's obviously a different thing. But I love Newcastle here. I really do.
One player who I would put up as a potential project for the season. As long as Matt Ritchie's playing, right, his deliveries from set pieces are superb. Jamal Lascelles, he's 10-1 any time, which I don't think is a great price, to be honest.
Scored last time out.
He did score against Brighton. He's a massive, massive player. Obviously, the club captain as well this season. I wouldn't be surprised if he bags a few this season just because of the quality of the deliveries going into him. I would want him to be a bit bigger than 10s, to be honest with you. And you might be thinking, well, what about the other one, the other centre-back? Normally Chancellor Mbemba, yet to score for the club. So he's 14-1, but I couldn't really put that up just yet. So, right, so you're with Newcastle?
Absolutely.
Okay. The final game that we're going to focus on here is the Sunday game between Villa and Forest. Villa are 3-4, the draw is 5-2, and Forest are 100-30. This one coming up at 1:15 on Sunday. Very, very interesting game, this, because you've got a Villa side who sit 16th in the table. They have not been tearing up trees in the Championship. They beat Rotherham in their first home game, but since then, yes, they've been coming up against a couple of difficult sides. I mean, Huddersfield have had a good start to the season. They nicked a point there. The draw at Derby isn't the worst point in the world, but then they did lose at Bristol City last time. Again, yeah. Bristol City are a side on the up, definitely. But since then, they've nicked Bristol City's best player for a lot of cash. Forest have also lost their best player, though, haven't they? In Mr. Burke, who has gone for, a massive fee. Forest, for all their perceived problems, sit 7th in the table. Are second top scorers in the Championship behind Barnsley. Yes, they have let in the second most as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's two teams who've let in 12 and Forest have let in 11.
They are the Fulham of last year, it would seem.
Amazing, because I was going to use that exact phrase today.
Okay, nice. I just stole your notes. Villa 3-4, probably the most likely winners here, but they're very short.
Yeah, they are a tad short, but I'm happy to back them.
Okay.
But you are I couldn't argue that they are a tad short at 3-4. Obviously at home so far, they've drawn with Huddersfield, who've been very impressive, and they've dispatched Rotherham no problem at all. And Forest, you know, two back-to-back league wins. They've scored an absolute, 8 goals in 3 games, and they've looked really good. The thing is, they've scored, when you look at where they've scored, you've got to bear this in mind first and foremost, because they've played 5 games, they've scored 4 past Burton, they've scored 4 past Wigan, they've scored 3 past Leeds. What's the common factor between those 3 games?
They've let a lot in.
Well, there's that, but they're all at home.
No, that's true. And the other two that they did lose away from home, they did not register
in. They didn't score a goal in.
Hmm.
So, first and foremost, you've got to look at that. Secondly, Ollie Burke was a big part of that. When you look at the goals, again, let's look at Forest against Burton. Ollie Burke scored the third Forest goal. Let's look at Forest against Wigan. Ollie Burke scored a brace in that game. When you look at Leeds, he scored the third. Now, admittedly, they didn't need the third against Leeds, necessarily. But the point is that he has been a huge part of those goals as well. In fact, if you're saying that to me right now, that in the league, Forest have scored 11 goals, Ollie Burke has scored 4 of those 11.
Mm.
Okay. So he's gone. The good news for them is that Britt Arsenbalonga has signed a new 5-year deal. That is huge for them. 9-5 anytime.
Very,
He's not exactly been in awful form. His nasty injury last season was a real problem. But 9-5 anytime, Britt Arsenbalonga, that's a good looking bet considering how well he's played. But when you put together the fact that Villa have conceded, but against a better team in Huddersfield, and that was only 86th minute, when, of course, the ball was blasted against the striker as well. It wasn't a wonderful piece of teamwork or anything. It's just the goalkeeper belted the ball into the attacker's face, and it rolled in the back of the net. So outside of that, they've not conceded at home.
Mm-hmm.
They have been tight. They have strengthened, like you say, with Kudjia and with Ross McCormack. I mean, a lot of money for two guys who are not the youngest, but okay. Good players, though. So you've got that. You've got a good front line. You've got a Forest side weakened by the loss of Ollie Burke, that is untenable. You can't keep, Fulham did it last season. You can't keep trying to outscore teams, because eventually teams will suss you out and do you. So ultimately, Villa at 3-4 is good. Now, Villa and both teams is 3-1. I could play that, despite Forest not scoring away and Villa only conceding a stupid goal at home.
Mm-hmm.
I could play that because of how many goals Forest have had. I still would kind of feel more comfortable playing Villa and both teams at threes. But there's a couple of other really good bets here. The first of which is in the anytime goal scorer doubled market. Now, this is a market that I go through weird phases with. I kind of go, I like playing these. Then I kind of go, no, I'm sick of it. And then I go back.
You do need plenty to go your way, if you like. You know, but at the same time, if you think both teams will score and you look at who the most likely scorers are for their respective teams, all of a sudden you think, well, hang on, this makes a bit of sense.
Absolutely. So you could play in an overall very pro-Villa market and look at McCormack and Coggia to score 11-2. I like that. Mm-hmm. But if you do think that you've got a Forest side who can score, then Ross McCormack and Britt Assombalonga both to score in the game is 6-1. Now, that's huge. And I'll tell you another reason why that's huge. Ross McCormack, in his career, has played 13 league games against Nottingham Forest for all clubs. Mm-hmm. He's scored 7 goals.
Not bad.
So he's averaging over 1-2 against Nottingham Forest. So that's another thing. He enjoys playing Forest. And believe me, you know, I've spoken to players. I once spoke to this player. and they know when they play. You know, I remember interviewing one. He goes, I love it against these. Mm. I don't know why, but I love playing at this ground, or I love playing against this team, and I score goals, and or I play well. And that does play on a player's mind. So the fact is that McCormack, with 7 goals in 13 league games against Forest, has to be a play in that market or at 6-4 any time. Mm-hmm. The fact is that Forest, ultimately for me, are the frail ones here. And I'd have Villa, even though that 3-4, I agree, is not the sexiest.
And Forest, of course, have conceded in every game that they've played, meaning that if they're going to go here and win, they're going to have to do it the hard way. Can you see them scoring 2-3 goals? Maybe not on this occasion. Although they have brought in Nicholas Bentner, of course, who is 13-5 any time. Whether or not he's fit enough to play a part in this game, I don't know.
And also, whether or not you want to back him anyway.
Well, yeah, that's true.
After what's been a nightmare few years for Nicholas Bentner.
Yeah, it's perhaps a strange one, that. We didn't mention as well...
There is an article. I might tweet it out at Pete_Farries. If I remember, I'll tweet it out. There's an article that a very good German newspaper wrote about Nicholas Bentner's time in Germany.
Mm.
It is just fascinating.
He's a character, isn't he? Albert Adoma as well, now at Villa. He's available on those doubles that you were looking at there.
Yeah, yeah.
And also Jack Grealish, who signed new contracts on Wednesday, I think.
Well, Grealish has scored, of course, a couple of times this season. He's 13-5 any time. And just a good point about Adoma, which I've just remembered. How often do we sit in here when he was at Middlesbrough and say he loves it on the telly?
Oh, yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah.
How often do we say he loves it on the telly? How well he plays in every TV game? 9-4 any time, you know, he'll be on the TV again. He'll just be in a different shirt.
Yeah, the Championship's version of Moussa Sissoko, you could say. Only turns up when the cameras are there.
But yeah, that's fair.
Mm. Right, okay then. What's your nap?
Well, in these three games, I kind of ummed and ahed, because obviously I really like Newcastle, and I kind of kept coming back to Newcastle. But actually, I've gone for a Friday night nap in the Reading-Ipswich game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's odds against for over 2.5 match goals. It's 5-4. And with the history of the head-to-head that you went through early on, with the 6 goals that this almost exact fixture, the exact time of the season, had last year, I thought that was a really nice way to play this. On top of which, I actually think you've got two sides who can score goals. When you look at their form so far this season, it might not kind of scream like the over 2.5 in your face. But these are two sides with good players. I mean, if you look at Reading's Championship games so far, you've got a 1-0, a 2-0 and a 1-0. But in between that, a 2-2 draw at home against Brighton and 5 goals, of course, in that heavy loss to Newcastle. Now, it's unders mainly in Ipswich games so far this season. Just the 1-overs, wasn't it? The 4-2 victory over Barnsley. But I think the over 2.5 at 5-4, considering the context of the match, is too good. So that's my nap of the week.
Okay, fair enough. Gav and Al. Gav currently just heading the Naps table. I know it's early doors. He's £8.10 in profit. £6 in profit is Al Ross. And Pete Ferry's £18 down. But you can do this, Pete.
18?
Yeah, £18.
Are we doing a pound? What?
Yeah.
I thought we were doing a pound a time.
Right there. No, 10.
Someone told me it was a pound a time.
No, 10. Well, if it is a pound a time, the fact that you've managed to reach minus 18 after 4 weeks of the season is commendable.
Well, I know it's been bad, but that is... Wow.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
But the fact remains that a couple of winners and you're right back up there.
I'm not losing to Gav. Okay. I'm not doing it. It's just not happening.
Okay.
Right, 5-4 over 2.5 match goals. Reading Ipswich, let's go.
There you go. That is the pick for Pete. We'll have Gav and Al coming up shortly with their picks in League 1 and League 2 and their naps as well, so stay tuned for that. But first, Mr. Farries is going to give us a rundown of the best bets in the rest of the Championship.
Right, the first stop for me is Sheffield Wednesday at 17-20 to beat Wigan. Yes, Wednesday will be very disappointed with their start to the season, really, but they have played some very tough teams. They were very poor in that midweek loss to Burton, but drew at Norwich, of course. Wigan, well, they've been very decent. In fact, they would have taken 4 points from the opening 5 games, but away from home, they have looked gettable, losing 2-1 at Bristol City and 4-3 and Nottingham Forest. One man in good form, though, is Will Grigg. 3 league goals in 5 matches means that 15-8 any time could well be a play. But Sheffield Wednesday, under Carlos Carvajal, have found themselves very, very good. I expect them to re-find that form against Wigan. 17-20 is great, but also combine the over 2.5 match goals into that as well. 11-10, a good odds against price. Yes, it's not landed at home so far for Sheffield Wednesday, but it's landed in both of Wigan's away games. I think they can get a goal, but I think that Wednesday can certainly, certainly score and beat them. Second up then is Fulham, and ultimately they've started the season under Mr. Jokanović much better than many would have thought they would do. Even money for Fulham, the draw 23-10, Birmingham in the market at 5-2. Birmingham got a really, really, really good win against Norwich, 3-0 of course last time out, and have yet to lose at home, beating Leeds 2-1 and drawing 1-1 with Wigan Athletic. But Fulham have been very, very good early doors. That good opening day victory against Newcastle United, the 2-2, albeit they equalised late against Cardiff. I still think that Fulham at even money are good enough to get over a Birmingham side that I'm not sure will have the consistency to have a brilliant season, but on the other side of it, have got the quality not to have an awful one. I've mentioned both teams to score, and that I think is probably one of the best bets in this game. 7-10, the both teams to score landed in both of Birmingham's away games so far this season, just one of their home, but did land last time at Craven Cottage in Fulham's 2-2 draw against Cardiff, and has landed away twice for them as well. So 7-10, both teams to score, looks like an absolute corker. In terms of a goal scorer, well, my love-in with Tom Kearney will continue. He's got the winner, of course, against Blackburn. 3-1 anytime is an intriguing price, but Chris Martin, of course, just brought in from Derby County, might well re-find his form. 29-20 for Chris Martin. Ultimately, he is the best bet in terms of a goal scorer in this game, but Fulham, at even money, are the best bet in terms of an outright. Finally, there is a team that I have been opposing again and again and again, and probably will continue to do so until the cows come home and maybe beyond. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is that of Queen's Park Rangers. They're 7-10 to beat Blackburn Rovers, a side who, quite frankly, you just cannot back. Yes, they were decent against Fulham, managed to hold Fulham off until the very, very, very final throws. But QPR are a solid home side. Losing 2-0 to Preston wasn't good, but they have been a side who have been very much better than I thought they would be. QPR find themselves with 9 points from 5 games, having won 3 of the last 5 championship matches as well. They're a side scoring goals. They're a confident-looking side. And under Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink, a bit like we saw with his time at Burton, they are a well-organised, well-drilled and very solid unit. Now, Ciaran Cherry has, of course, bagged so far this season. He's a man that we made a lot of money off last season. He's 8-5 anytime. But if you fancy a bit of a double price anytime goal scorer, then Nedim Anuoha might well be your play. Scored, of course, in that game against Leeds. And you think, well, OK, one goal, Pete, isn't exactly the sexiest, but he did score the winner against Wigan as well. So 10-1 anytime for him is very, very good considering his goal scoring record. But for me, again, I'm sorry to say, because I feel bad for Blackburn fans, you've just got to keep opposing Blackburn.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.
Thanks to Pete Farries then for his picks in the Championship. We're going to move on to League One now, and Gav Puszulowski is going to give us his best bets. Bolton still top the league. They're still unbeaten, as are second place Bradford and 11th place Northampton, who got a win in front of the Sky Cameras against MK Dons last weekend. They had drawn 5 in a row previous to that, so still unbeaten, but now they have that all-important win to their name. Rochdale and Coventry hold up the table, both sides without a win so far to date. And so, without further ado, we'll hand over to Gav, who's going to put forward a treble in League One this weekend.
Another action action-packed Saturday full of League One action, and here are my three best bets for this weekend. Starting off with Bury at home to Shrewsbury. Bury are 23-20, and I think that's okay against the Shrewsbury side, who last time in North Manchester, they won 3-2 away at Oldham. But before that, three games without a goal, and Shrewsbury in their last five away from home have conceded 10 in five, because, of course, they beat Oldham 3-2. And I think if Bury score two against Shrewsbury on Saturday, they win the game. Bury's home form is very good. And Bury themselves are pretty big goal scorers at home. They scored three against Southend, two against Charlton, four against Port Vale at the weekend as well. And they've got a goal scorer in their midst as well. They've just signed him and he's already scored three goals in two games. And that's James Vaughan. You have to look at him to score any time at 29-20. Tom Pope, 13-8 anytime for Bury's also a play. And have a look a little bit further afield as well. He scored at the weekend. Coming from midfield, Jacob Mellis at 4-1 could prove to be a little bit big for Bury. Three of the last four meetings between Bury and Shrewsbury, it is the home side have come out on top. And you could look at Bury to win an over 2.5 goals. If you do fancy that, Bury to win over 2.5 goals, 23-10. But certainly in this one, I do fancy Bury to get the job done. And they're first on the list at 23-20. My second bet is Bolton at 10-11. Sticking with them, they let me down last weekend, but it wasn't through the lack of trying. They were well on top against Southend, but Southend clung on to a point. Bolton at 10-11. MK Dons have lost three of the last four games, conceding plenty. Last weekend, of course, in front of the TV cameras, in no time at all, 3-0 down away at Northampton. They did fight back to 3-2, but MK Dons, poor run of form, having lost three of four. So I'm thinking Bolton at 10-11 is a play. Again, Bolton and over 2.5 goals, because I think Bolton will concede in this one, but I think they'll score more. And Bolton to win and over 2.5 goals, you can have that at 2-1. It seems pretty good. Also, Bolton have started to concede first at home as well. They did so at home to Southend and they did so at home to Fleetwood. So if you do fancy having a look at Bolton to come from behind and win, is 15-2. The only slight concern with that is if MK Dons edge in front, that the draw might become a play. And if you do fancy that, 23-10. But I think with the amount of goals that MK Dons are conceding, that Bolton are going to score at least a couple in this one. Gary Medine anytime 6-4 is always tempting. Kieran Agard for MK Dons 2-1 anytime. Dean Bowditch 5-2 anytime. I do believe that MK Dons can score. But I think Bolton will still have too much for them. And it's two successive draws for Bolton. I'm expecting that to end against MK Dons. I'm going Bolton at 10-11. Before my third and final shout, just a couple of mentions for other teams that I quite fancy to get the job done this weekend. Fleetwood at home to Charlton 8-5. They're having a great season, Fleetwood. And I think they'll be too strong for Charlton. I also quite fancy Sheffield United at 11-8 to win away at Wimbledon. Wimbledon have won the last couple of games at home, scoring a number of goals as well against Chesterfield 2-1 and against Swansea Academy in the Checkatrade Trophy. They won 3-0. But Sheffield United's performance against Gillingham was solid. Not spectacular, but solid, and got the job done. Two wins out of two for Sheffield United. Confidence is building. Defensively, Sheffield United on Sunday in front of the TV cameras, it's one of the best defensive performances I've seen from Sheffield United in a very long time. And it's just starting to come together. And I think Sheffield United at 11-8 is a play. But do look at over 2.5 goals. I also think Bradford can get something from Gillingham as well. And 17-10 for Bradford is a play. But elsewhere, I'm looking at Millwall at 4-6 to beat Coventry. Coventry season is very poor at the moment. They are sitting second bottom at the moment. In Millwall, they drew 1-1, as predicted, at home to Bradford on Saturday. But I think Millwall are going to get back to winning ways against the Coventry side, who are very poor at the moment. Millwall's home form is generally very good. They follow up games they don't win at home with victories straight afterwards. And I'm expecting them to do so against Coventry. A Coventry side who have just started to score one or two goals. But away from home, you are looking at, in League One, four defeats in five. This could be their fourth straight defeat on the road. Coventry City's away form is very poor indeed. I could be very much tempted by Millwall minus one goal in the handicap as well. If you do fancy Millwall minus one in the match, 17-10, I think that's a play. possibly could push it to Millwall -2 at 9-2 as well. The head-to-heads between these two sides show that goals lands often. Over 2.5 goals has landed in 5 of 6 meetings between these two sides. And in fact, Coventry came here and won 4-0 last season. That's when Coventry were flying high. Two previous home victories for Millwall, 3-0 and 3-1. So the -1 landing big time for Millwall in that one. So I do fancy Millwall at 4-6, but I do fancy Millwall -1 at 17-10 as well. So my three best bets for this weekend in League One are Bury to beat Shrewsbury at 23-20, Bolton at 10-11 to beat MK Dons, and this is also my NAP selection with Millwall at 4-6 to beat Coventry. That is 5.84-1.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.
And so finally, last but not least, we'll move on to League Two. Al Ross is going to put forward a treble in just a moment. Carlisle, the only unbeaten side left in League Two, but they sit in ninth. They've drawn 4 of their 6 games so far. Only one side without a win as well. That's Cambridge, who are rooted to the bottom of the table with 3 points from 6 games. They're also the lowest scorers in the division, having notched just 3 times in those 6 games. Best defence, well, that goes to Portsmouth, who've let in just 3 so far in their 6 encounters. But it's a pretty tight league. We always know that. It's Luton who top it. Morecambe lost last weekend at home to Leighton Orient. So Luton now top the table. They got the better of Wickham, who nearly are in the relegation zone. It's Yeovil and Cambridge as things stand. Yes, it's early doors, but the things that happen at this stage of the season go a long way to shaping how the rest of your campaign is going to go. A treble now then from Al Ross.
No international break for League Two last week, and we were one Mansfield goal away from landing the League Two treble, thwarted by a Cambridge side who ended without a shot on target at Field Mill. Cambridge are at Plymouth, who've won their last 5 straight. It looks the most obvious bet of the weekend, but there's a little nagging voice in the back of my head. It's a voice I've learned to trust as well. Plymouth are odds against the 21-20, which is mighty tempting. It might well be a massive home win, but not going to put it in my treble this week. Might be something to do with 2 of Plymouth's last 3 wins being 1-0 because they were either playing 10 men or got a last-minute winner. Could also be that while the league table will tell you there are no worse teams than Cambridge, there actually are. For instance, Wickham. Because for every 3 players in their squad, 1 is in the treatment room right now. Gareth Ainsworth warned fans things could get worse before they got better with trips to Luton and Portsmouth. And having tipped last week's loss at Luton, no problem this week with tipping Portsmouth, who have won their last 3 in the league, taken 7 points from their 3 home games, to beat a weakened Wickham side who'd only picked up a point on their travels even before the injury problems deepened. 8-15 on Portsmouth is short for an outright, but it's also the shortest price I'm tipping this week. And if you want more bang for your buck, Gary Roberts has 4 goals in his last 3. He's the penalty taker and will be playing against an emergency loan keeper after Scott Brown's injury and an inexperienced defence, Max Muller and Joe Jacobson out, which means all bar one of the Wickham backline will be under 23. So if you want a bigger price, you can try Roberts to score in a Pompey win at 9-5, or Portsmouth to score their 2nd goal before Wickham do in the race to 2 goals market at 10-11. Plenty of ways in. So before Wickham played Luton, Ainsworth said the things will get worse before they get better line. Afterwards, he was tipping Luton as champions, and the way they're playing, it's easy to see why. The 4-1 scoreline barely did justice to just how dominant they were against Wickham last week. Now they come up against a team I've successfully tipped a couple of times already this season, Grimsby. But I'm not backing Grimsby this weekend. Home advantage is key for the Mariners, and they're at Kenilworth Road, where Luton are a really good value, even money shout. You can put that into an Acca if you want, but there are better ways in because there's something else about this game that is too good to miss. Grimsby's league matches this season are averaging 4 goals per game, and that average is keeping on rising. Only 3 goals across their first 2 games in all competitions. Since then, both teams to score has landed in every match. And in the last 5 games, there have been 26 goals. 2 of Grimsby's last 3 matches have ended 5-2. Both teams have scored at least 2 goals in 4 of their last 5 games. It is a scary scoring run, but not as scary a prospect of putting that backline up against Luton, because only one side have scored more than Grimsby's 13 in the league so far this season, and can you guess who? And Luton haven't just scored 14 goals, they've seen both teams to score land in 6 of their last 8. Both teams to score in this one is 7-10. Grimsby to score in the second half has landed in every league game this season. That's 19-20. You can take your pick of the markets here. Luton to win and both teams to score, though, at 3-1 is just too good to miss. And if you want a nap this week, the price on over 2.5 goals between Luton and Grimsby is an absolutely bizarre 10-11. Third bet, and I'll keep it short, Orient at Carlisle. I was tipping against Orient at the start of the season, but hopped off that bus just in time because it's been 4 wins in the last 5, including last week's impressive win at then-leaders Morecambe. I think Orient are the big price because Carlisle are unbeaten, but that unbeaten run's included real struggles against League 2's lesser teams. So Orient at 12-5 looks a real value shout. Lots of value on side markets this week, but if you're playing it straight, a fiver on Portsmouth, Luton and Orient would bring you back more than £50 with your stake at odds of 9.42-1.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.
Thanks to Al and Gav and, of course, Pete. And thanks to you for listening to the William Hill League podcast. We'll be back next week, but best luck with your bets this weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.